Welcome to Torah Imecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be studying Parashat Va'etchanan, the next installment in Moshe Rabbeinu's last lecture, his final words to the Jewish people as they are about to enter the land without him. The word Va'etchanan means, I beseech Hashem. This is Moshe Rabbeinu's record of his own heartfelt tefillah, in which he pleaded with Hashem to allow him to enter the promised land. Hashem rejected this tefillah, instead instructing Moshe to ascend to the peak of the mountain from where he would be able to see the land, but not enter it. As we saw last week, Moshe once again attributes Hashem's rejection of his plea to the nation, which the Midrash again explains by saying that had the people joined Moshe in his tefillah to allow him into the land, God would not have rejected the prayer. Hashem tells Moshe to strengthen and encourage Yehoshua, who would lead the people into the land in his stead. Moshe then reminds the Jewish people of our obligation to keep the mitzvot of the Torah that he has taught, enjoining us to neither add nor detract from the mitzvot. Rashi interprets this mitzvah in the narrow sense, as referring to those mitzvot circumscribed by a specific number, such as the four species of the lulav, to which we may not add and from which we may not subtract, while other commentaries, such as Ramban, broaden the restriction to include adding to the totality of mitzvot. We may not add mitzvot of our own devising, such as additional holidays, and call them service of God. Moshe reminds us again to value and observe the commandments of the Torah, for they are the source of our glory in the eyes of the nations of the world, who admire the wisdom of the Jewish people as well as our close relationship with Hashem, who gave us the Torah with its system of morality and justice that has impacted all of civilization. Moshe Rabbeinu reminds us of Ma'amad Har Sinai, the earth-shattering experience of receiving the Torah from Hashem himself. He recalls especially the commandment not to make graven images that may be used for idolatrous purposes, for Hashem took us out of the bondage of Mitzrayim to serve him alone, and Moshe once again emphasizes that as he will not be accompanying us into the land, we ourselves must be on our guard against influences that may distract us from the exclusive service of God. In Perek Daled, the fourth chapter, verse 25, Pasuk Chaf Hei, Moshe begins a prophetic speech that serves as the Torah reading for Tisha B'Av, explaining that once the Jewish people have lived in the land for several generations, v'noshantem ba'aretz, from the root yashan, meaning something old and comfortable, once we have become secure in the land and life has become routine, we will forget Hashem and begin to sin, engaging in idolatry. Moshe calls upon heaven and earth as witnesses to the threat that these circumstances will lead to exile from the land and dispersion among the nations, where we will be an oppressed minority. Although initially we will persist in our idol worship, eventually the experience of exile will motivate us to seek God, to whom we will then return with all our hearts. We will call out to Hashem from within our suffering, and he will respond, for he is merciful and has not forgotten the promises he made to our forefathers. Toward the end of this section, in verse 39, Pasuk Lamitet, we find one of my favorite psukim in Tanakh, one that we recite daily in the Aleinu prayer. V'yadata hayom v'hashevota el levavecha ki Hashem hu ha'elokim b'shamayim mima'al v'al ha'aretz mitachat ein od. And you shall know this day and consider it in your heart that Hashem is God in heaven above and earth below. There is none other. Rabbeinu Bechaya explains that this is a positive commandment. While our initial relationship with Hashem is based on the teachings we receive from our parents or the previous generation, as we mature intellectually, we have a responsibility to deepen this relationship through learning and acquiring our own knowledge and understanding of Hashem's oneness. The Rambam teaches that the more we know about Hashem, the more we study about the world that Hashem has created, the incredible systems such as the human body, the cosmos, patterns in nature, etc., the more we will come to love Hashem and feel an emotional connection to him. This pasuk teaches us, V'yadata et Hashem, come to know Hashem intellectually, v'hashevota el levavecha, and then bring this knowledge into your heart. While it is critically important to study Torah, That is only part of the mitzvah. Our study must lead to internalizing the teachings we encounter in order to build a passionate attachment to Hashem and His Torah. Rabbeinu Bechaya explains that this may be challenging. The Torah uses the term levavecha rather than libecha, doubling the letter bet, to indicate that we have to bring this home l'shnei yitzarecha, to both the good and evil inclinations that reside within our hearts. The evil inclination will attempt to stand in the way of our attachment to God, especially in the area of God's oneness, and will try to convince us that there are forces at work in the universe outside of God, chalila. The pasuk emphasizes, ein od, don't let yourself be fooled by the yetzer hara. There is nothing that happens in this world that is outside of God. This is the foundation of our belief, which begins with the Masorah, the tradition imparted to us by previous generations, and is reinforced by our own intellectual exploration, and results in a deep and multifaceted relationship with Hashem that is both intellectual and emotional. At this point, there is a break in Moshe's speech as the narrative resumes with Moshe setting aside three cities in the land that had been conquered on the eastern side of the Jordan River as Arei Miklat, cities of refuge. These cities would provide sanctuary to one who inadvertently caused the death of another, as described in Parashat Mas'eh. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu knew that these cities would not begin to serve their designated purpose until after the conquest of the land, he wanted to at least begin the mitzvah by assigning them their status. This was an active demonstration of the enthusiasm for Torah and mitzvot that Moshe was trying to impart to the people in his farewell speech. In Perek He, chapter 5, Moshe begins his second speech with a review of the giving of the Torah at Har Sinai. He begins by saying, not with our fathers alone did Hashem enter into a covenant. Rather, that covenant includes all future generations. He reviews the Ten Commandments in language almost identical to that of Parashat Yitro, in which the commandments are first given and recorded, with several notable changes, one of which I will discuss briefly. In the fourth commandment, the mitzvah to observe Shabbat is recorded here as Shamor et Yom HaShabbat LeKadsho, observe the Shabbat to keep it holy, while in Sefer Shemot it is written Zachor et Yom HaShabbat LeKadsho, remember the Shabbat to keep it holy. Rashi explains, according to Chazal, that at Har Sinai, both terms were spoken and understood at once, a unique phenomenon impossible for a human being to replicate. These indicate the two fundamental aspects of Shabbat. Shamor, observe the Shabbat by refraining from active work, and Zachor, actively sanctify the Shabbat through positive observance, specifically making Kiddush and Havdalah. Additionally, the reason given here for Shabbat observance is that we were once slaves in Mitzrayim, but were miraculously freed by God, while in Sefer Shemot, the reason given is more universal, that God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. The Ramban explains that the first statement demands our observance of Shabbat to commemorate God as creator, and this second statement in our Sefer adds the dimension of God's continued supervision of and involvement in the world and his miraculous intervention in history when called for. Shabbat is an opportunity to meditate on both of these dimensions of God, and both are mentioned in Kiddush, the prayer with which we sanctify the Shabbat, Zecher Litziat Mitzrayim and Zikaron L'Maaseh Bereishit. Moshe records the people's request when, having been petrified by hearing God's voice directly in the first two commandments, they pleaded with him to intercede and act as an intermediary, relaying the remainder of the commandments in his own voice, lest they die, for they had been overcome by fear. Following their voluntary promise to listen and obey that which Moshe would relate to them, God acceded to their request. The pasuk states in chapter 5, verse 26, Mi yitain v'haya levavam ze lahem liyirauti v'lishmor et kol mitzvotai kol hayamim lema'an yitav lahem v'livnehem le'olam. If only they would have this mindset for all time, to hold me in awe and observe all of my commandments, that it may be good for them and their descendants forever. Rabbeinu Bechaya explains that this text is an affirmation of the principle of free will, a doctrine expressed in several places in Sefer Devarim, alongside the divine advice that reverence for God and observance of his dictates is the right path and one that will benefit us. Nevertheless, the choice remains in our hands. Moshe adds his own admonition that as we prepare to enter the land of milk and honey as promised to our forefathers, it behooves us to listen to the word of Hashem and revere him so that we will endure in the land and benefit from Hashem's goodness. This admonition is followed by one of the most foundational passages in the entire Torah, the first section of the daily recitation of Kriyat Shema, the daily recitation of faith. In his introduction to Sefer Devarim, in his seminal work, Covenant and Conversation, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, Zichrono Levracha, notes that the root Shema, Shin Mim Ayin, is the single most important word in the Sefer, appearing no less than 92 times. Rabbi Sacks explains, Shema means not blind obedience, but rather hearing, listening, striving to understand, internalizing, and responding indeed. The very tone and texture of Deuteronomy is a sustained attempt to help the people understand why it is that God wants them to behave in the way that he does, not for his sake, but for theirs. Rabbi Sacks explains further in an essay on Parashat Va'etchanan, Shema Yisrael does not mean, hear, O Israel. It means something like, listen, concentrate, give the word of God your most focused attention, strive to understand, engage all your faculties, intellectual and emotional, make his will your own. For what he commands you to do is not irrational or arbitrary, but for your welfare, the welfare of your people, and ultimately for the benefit of all humanity. In Judaism, faith is a form of listening to the song creation sings to its creator and to the message history delivers to those who strive to understand it. In God's unity, you will find unity within yourself and between yourself and the world, and you will no longer fear the unknown. The passage of Shema continues with the fundamental mitzvot of Ahavat Hashem, loving God, learning and teaching Torah, the twice daily recitation of Shema as an expression of faith, wearing tefillin and placing mezuzot on our doorposts. The passage of Kriyat Shema is followed by injunctions to remember that all the goodness of the land we are about to enter emanates from Hashem, and not to take this goodness for granted and slip into idolatry. Moshe warns us not to test Hashem as we had done in the desert, which includes the prohibition against not listening to the words of the prophets after we ourselves had asked for a prophet, Moshe, to intercede and relay the word of Hashem to us at Har Sinai. He instructs us to transmit the story of our people to our children in question-answer format when they ask us, as on the night of the Seder, why the laws are meaningful to us. We answer by relaying the story of our slavery in Egypt, from which Hashem miraculously redeemed us so that we might inherit the land and observe the commandments. Moshe reminds us yet again, as he will continue to do throughout the Sefer, to completely destroy the seven Canaanite nations, not to intermarry with them, and not to fall prey to their idolatrous ways. While this parasha has been packed with so many ideas and texts that are critical to Jewish thought and practice, a central theme that emerges is that of remembering our past to inform our future. Our great teacher, Moshe Rabbeinu, sought to inculcate this message in his last words as leader of the Jewish people. We must always remember who we are and where we came from. The fiery cauldron of the Egyptian slavery from which we miraculously emerged as a nation, chosen by God to serve as a moral example to the world. We have a covenantal obligation to fulfill the mission and destiny we accepted upon ourselves at Mount Sinai. As we transition from the period of mourning for the Churban to the 7 weeks of comfort leading to the new year, let's renew our commitment to these values and continue to build our relationship with Hashem and with one another through our ongoing study of Torah. Thank you for learning together.